Always a joy to come and to meet with you and to have the opportunity of ministering the word and joining around the Lord's table with you just to remember the Saviour. It's lovely just to come in and sit there and to meditate and to think. And whenever, it's amazing, really, how someone can read or say something and you never maybe noticed it before. You know, from the scriptures, it just jumps on you. Whenever Brother Burke was talking there about Isaiah 53, he mentioned in his remarks, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Now here's the bit that hit me. We have turned everyone to his own way. I'll have to be looking further into that. You see, how many ways would that be? We have turned everyone to his own way. Do we all have a separate way of going to hell? Kind of seems like that, doesn't it? We have turned everyone to his own way. Now that's a wee investigation I'm going to have to look at whenever we get the opportunity so to do. It is lovely to be back, as I've said already. Always look forward to coming up to this meeting. Whenever you were talking there about the second blessing, I've just completed a number of Thursdays with a fellowship that I go to from time to time, a little place called Ardress. And I was talking to them during the course of the time I was there. I was supposed to be there for four Thursdays, and I only made it for three because I had to cancel one because of this caper with going into hospital, and I had to cancel here for a Sunday because I'm still not in. It has been three times cancelled on me. I haven't got yet. And it's a nuisance that, you know, because the reason why I had to cancel it was they told me I wasn't to drive for a month after I've had this. So I was nearly going to ask Bert to drive, but I don't think my nerves would stick it. So, only joking, of course. And but I was up there and I was talking to them, and they would be very, what kind of a word will I use? You've got to be very careful sometime, but I think the word would be brethrenish in their thinking, you see. So I was talking about Bible seconds to them. We spent a night on the second birth. What is it? And then we spent a night on the second coming. What is it? And then a night on the second death. What is it? And I told them last week I was going to speak for a night on the second blessing, but I would leave that to the next night I would go, next time I would go. Didn't get around to that one. And don't know why they want to stop at blessing number two. Never can figure that. You know, they're a very famous preacher that we all knew very well in this province. I used to say, God bless you, brother. And he would say, and I intend to let him. And that's it. Nothing wrong with that. Lord's blessings are wonderfully amazing. Now, come on to Ephesians chapter 5 with me this morning, and we'll read a few verses here at the commencement of this very remarkable chapter. And again, it's not my intention to talk about it in the meeting today, but have a look at that first verse, because again, I've been greatly struck by that in my reading and in preparation for this meeting and others of its kind, by that introductory statement, be ye therefore followers of God. I tell you, that's some standard that the apostle is setting. I meet sometimes up with a few people who would almost believe in sinless perfection and living above sin. And I often think about that verse, you know, to be followers of God. How can I do that? And yet, it wouldn't be there if it wasn't in a measure possible. And Paul goes on, do it as dear children. Now, one or two ways to help you, and walk in love. And again, here's the example of that. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Bert was talking about the offerings there again this morning, and that was very special. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, note, let it not be once named among you, let alone practiced. Don't even let it be talked about as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Isn't that remarkable? What he's calling coveting, idolatry. Yeah, which is an idolatry, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone be in it. He'd not even see it without the experience of the new birth. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, you've been brought out, stay out. Amen. As a child of God. The Lord has saved you, brought you from the broad to the narrow way. Don't be wandering back. Amen. That's never what God intended his people to do. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. This is very practical. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How on earth can you reprove something if you're walking in it? Not easy to do that. You know, I had a school teacher on one occasion, and he never stopped telling us boys not to smoke, and he never stopped smoking himself. I could never understand that, you know, but maybe it had got a hold on him. But I would have listened a whole lot better if he had quit himself and then told us to do it, but he didn't. He carried on, as far as I know, to the end. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And here's how to do that. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Just go back to that 16th verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. May God add his blessing to that very, very informative and practical reading of his precious, precious word. During the night, friends, in that meeting I was referring to already, when I was talking to those gathered on the subject of the second coming, they concluded the meeting by singing a very well-known hymn, one that I've heard sung here many a time, and I'm sure if we're spared and the Lord tarries, it'll be sung again. It's that hymn about the Lord's return. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Wonderful to be able to say that. But again, things light upon you on certain occasions, and whenever they were singing that hymn, and I was traveling home in the car, I couldn't get that term, time shall be no more, out of my mind. You see, because everything is governed by time. What way would we work in this world if we hadn't a clock? When would we know how to gather for this meeting? You see, how would I know when the meeting is over? We hadn't time. We owe so much to it. Again, the announcements were made, a prayer meeting at 5:30 and a gospel meeting at 6:30. All of those things are controlled by time. Time has a big effect upon every single one of our lives, beyond a doubt. But if we hadn't it, then of course we're into eternity, aren't we? Time shall be no more. But it made me think about this whole issue of time. My mind went away back to a series of gospel meetings I was holding in a little village in the area I more or less was brought up in. And there was a man lived in that area, a well-saved guy by the name of John. But John was a deep, deep thinker. And of course, people like that are very valuable. They really are. But I remember driving down the street one day in the village, and John was just coming out of the local shop, you see. And he started to come across the road, and he saw me coming, and he put up the hand like that, and he stopped the car. And I wound down the window, and I said, "Well, John, what's troubling you, you see?" And he just looked at me and he said two words, "Why time?" And he turned around and he walked on. Now, that was all I got, "Why time?" I've never forgotten that, never have. And you see, if you start to ponder that for a moment or two and try to get a few answers, it talks to you, as it ought to do. Because someday, as we'll see in a minute, it's going to be all over. No more time. Why time? Now, I was looking up a couple of very well-known preachers in a bygone day. I don't know whether I dare mention this man's name here, but I want to mention it anyway. His name is Alexander Pope. Well, the Lord bless him with a name like that. Alexander Pope. And he said this, "Take care of the minutes, and the hours will take care of themselves." That's very like another statement we make sometimes. Take care of the pennies, and the pounds will take care of themselves. But take care of the minutes. I've written this down, but I don't want to misquote them. "And the hours will take care of themselves." And that's right. Absolutely right. And Roy Loren wrote this, "Time is passing, and you are passing out of time. Someday, it's going to run out. And if you intend to do something special for God, then it's time to act. Now is the accepted time." I'm trying to get this word time established into your mind and into mine in the meeting today. Now, that brings me to the verse that I want to use as a basis for my remarks today. I read it twice there during our reading this morning. It's the verse number 16. Let us look at it back to front for a moment or two, because at the back end of the verse, you have what we would call a fact. The days are evil. I couldn't help wondering when I read that, if the Apostle Paul was living today, what he would say. Because while he lived in a very evil day, I was reading through the Acts of the Apostles. That's why I was so interested when Brother Davy started to read from the Acts this morning. I was reading through the Acts of the Apostles again during the past week, and things weren't easy for the early church. They certainly weren't. They went through hard and bitter and serious times. You remember, James was actually beheaded, and it was the intention of Herod to take Peter down the same road, but he didn't get the chance. The angel of the Lord put an end to that. But they were difficult days. But the days are evil in which you and I are living. I don't know recently how many people have taken a gun and gone into supermarkets, schools, or whatever, and have just butchered all around them. You see? And they think that's the right thing to do. They're pleasing Allah. I don't know whether you heard that interview with that young man who murdered four people, and this is what he said. It was an interview he had given before the deed, that he was going out to please Allah. What sort of a God is that? Amen. Who would send you into a supermarket to murder all around you? But these are the days we're living in. I don't want to go into the terrible, terrible depths of sin and folly that have come upon this land of ours in past days. Only to say this, brethren and sisters, that in the land in which you and I are living, our government has legalized every single sin for which God sent the flood and wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. They're all legal practices in the land today. The last time that Billy Graham was here, before he finally went home to be with the Lord, he said this, and I was struck by this remark. You see, he said that if God did not very soon visit these islands in judgment, he would need to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we're worse than them. When you look around you. You see, I was at a funeral here one day lately. And during the course of the funeral in which I was taking part, there was a guy came over to me. And he was talking away to me, this fella. And I didn't know who he was. He was a complete stranger to me. He seemed to be a very highly educated young man. And I discovered afterwards that he was the vice principal of a school. But there was a man came up to me the next day, and he said to me, he said, I noticed you spent a lot of time talking to that man at the funeral yesterday. I said, he came over to talk to me, and I didn't really know him. He says, I was surprised you spent so long with him. I looked at the guy, I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Would you fill me in? He said, are you aware that that's the head of the gay pride movement in Belfast? I says, no, I am not. I didn't know a thing about it. And there I was talking. He seemed to be a pretty ordinary guy. And yet, they were able to show me a photograph of him leading that movement with feathers in his hair and wearing a grass skirt. These are the days we're living in. And yet you don't know who's doing what. It could be your next door neighbor. Now that's a fact. But does that fact, not going any further with that, because those things are not profitable to be talked about, they're there, we're aware of it, and it saddens and breaks our hearts at times. But the fact should have an effect upon us. And the effect comes in at the beginning of the verse. We're told, because the deeds are evil, redeem the time. What does it mean? It means buy up every opportunity that you can get to bear witness for the Lord and to take your stand for Him. Amen. Don't let time pass uselessly. Amen. Redeem it. You know that redemption has got to do with paying a price. When we look, I'm not sure if it was quoted in the meeting this morning. I don't think it was. Well, what the Apostle Peter said, that we're not redeemed. There's the whole thought of redeeming and redemption coming in. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold. They cannot obtain our redemption. But we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Yeah. You and I are the most expensive purchase in the universe. There are times when maybe all of us walk this way, when you don't feel of very much value. But I want to tell you, friend, the opposite is the case. God paid dearly for you. The Son of God, said Paul, loved me and He gave Himself for me. That's the one who redeemed you by His own precious blood, who through His Holy Spirit is saying to you today, redeem the time. Don't waste it. Don't lose it. Buy up the opportunity, because as our brother reminded us this morning in prayer, we hope to be here tonight. We mightn't be. Who knows? My times are in Thy hands. But very soon, for all of us, time will be no more, one way or the other. We'll either go through the article of death, or we'll be taken to glory in mass with the rest of the people of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The living changed. And together we'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. So no matter what way you look at it, time is short. Yes. If you ever were down in a little town there on the outskirts of Cumber called Ballygowan, if ever you're through that village, and if you're never been through it, go down and have a look at this, because it's very interesting. In that village there's a great big clock, and is it on a church or the town hall? It's one or the other. I'm not sure. Probably the town hall, I would think, that this big clock is on. I've seen it many, many times, and imagine, I can't remember which of the two it's on. But it's on a prominent public building, and I think it was the town hall. And there's this massive big clock up there, and right underneath it, time is short. Written underneath that clock. Now, every time I go through Ballygowan, and I've got to go through that quite often to different places I go, I stop and I look at that. And that speaks to me. Time is short. There's one thing I do know, for me and probably for us all, we've more behind us than we have in front of us. No question about that one. Time shall be no more. I lost a very close friend of mine here recently. He had the same name as me. I don't know whether any of you people ever knew him or not. His name was Dick Shaw. Dick was a great soul and a great singer. He passed away there about maybe a month ago at the ripe old age of 106. And he was shining for the Lord to the last day of his life, because his mind was perfect. You see, very amusing character. He wasn't a tall man by any manner of means. When I would mission around the part of the world he came from, I'm never quite sure which of the two places he comes from. It's either Kilman or Kilmore, some one of the two, and they're almost side by side out over there. and I keep getting it muddled. I could take you right to where he lived. I think it was Kilimanjaro he came from. But he always went, no matter where I asked him to go to sing, he wouldn't take a lift. He always went on the bike. Always. And he came in one night, I remember well, and he stood up on the platform and he said, you'll notice right away that all the Shaws are not the one size. And, which was very comical. But for time, even at 106, it's no more. It's over. Thank God for men like that who are an example to the rest of us. Amen. Who have gone on and are now with the Lord, which is far better. But, friends, what about the matter of time? Now, I want to get this into our minds. Now, that made me think. And there were a number of things that came into my mind that I want to share with you just now in the meeting this morning. And the first is this. Some kill time until time kills them. Isn't that true? If there's one thing above another that I never like to hear a believer say, I'm just killing time. You know. I know another dear brother very, very well. He's in his 102nd year. And he's, I would reckon, the best musician I've ever heard. And he's still playing. And his daughter, I was talking to her here recently, and she was telling me that he goes down to that shopping centre where there's a Marks and Spencer's place down there just at Craigie in Belfast, and he sits in there every day on one of the seats and spends his time giving out tracts and witnessing to people at 102 years of age. Now, he's not killing time. He's using it. Someday, it'll all be all over. I chaired a very, very lovely night on his 100th birthday, and he played the music the whole way through and stood up and sang with his four daughters. He's a remarkable man. You see, I remember being put in charge of him one time. For 3 nights at a particular event we were doing in Newcastle, and I was there as the speaker. And the lady in charge said, would you look after Davey? And when the 3 nights was over, I said, never ask me to do that again. Never. I lost him one night, and he was away down the beach at 12 o'clock at night, at 99. I don't know where it went to. You know, I told her, I said, I could look after a multitude of children far better than look after him. And it never came my way again. But it's great to see people not killing time until time kills them. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Now let me go on with this. Some waste time, heedless of how quickly the days are passing. How quickly they go by. One Sunday to the other. You could hardly, you know, keep track of it. Goes past so quickly. And very often in the preaching of the gospel, friends, I like to remind people of this. In the preaching of the gospel, of the brevity of time and the shortness of life. Because the Bible talks about 70 years and 10. And if you sit down and do your mathematics, that's 840 months, or by reason of strength, 80. And that's where the Zimmer frames and walking sticks and all that sort of stuff normally come in. 960 months. And that's it, as far as the Bible is concerned. Now, I know there's quite a lot of people get over it, and the days we're living in, because of medical success and what have you, the lifespan of man has been extended to a certain degree, but I know very few who get over 80. Very, very few. And of course, we need to remember this morning, friends. Don't waste that. Don't waste it. Because it's not coming back, and you're not going to get doing a repeat performance. It's going quickly by. I was thinking about that old hymn this morning. Time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment draweth nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly. Be in time. Aren't you glad you did that maybe as a younger person? And gave your life over to the Lord? I remember a very, very dear brother that I knew in the Lord and loved him dearly. He was, I would reckon, one of the most godly men I ever knew. His name was Hugh, and he was a blacksmith. And I got him up to give his testimony in a gospel meeting one night in a mission I was doing in the hall he attended. Hugh was a man of prayer. He knew how to weep over the erring one and how to lift up the fallen. He was amazing. But he got saved through a couple of faith mission pilgrims at the age of 48. And he told us that night in the meeting that he had asked the Lord to, let me get this right now. Yes, he had lived 48 years for the devil. And the night he was saved, he asked the Lord to give him 48 years to live for him. And he said, you know, praise God, he has me 2 years over it. And so he had. He was 98. And I remember going to visit this man on his 100th birthday. And it was one of the wildest days I ever remember, to blew you off your feet, you know. And he lived on the face of the shore yonder, down in the Malile area. And I went in, and he was sitting facing this big open fire, and I came in at the door behind him. He never saw me or heard me. And his family had bought him one of those Parker Knoll chairs for a birthday present that you push buttons and it lifts you out of it, and all this kind of thing, you know. And he had got this for his birthday. He was happy, and he was sitting at the fire. And that little fellowship that he attended finishes every meeting. Now, they still do, because I was there a month ago. And they finish every meeting by singing that chorus, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And it's put to music. And every meeting is concluded with that chorus. Every single one. And when I went into the room and I stood behind dear old Hugh, he's singing away at that. You know, at 100, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And whenever I had listened to it maybe a half a dozen of times, I walked round and I said, Hugh, you're in good form today. Oh, he said, were you listening to me? I said, I was. And I said, I enjoyed it too. But I said, I'll tell you something. The Lord enjoyed it far better than me. I said, tell me this, you're 100 today, Hugh, how are you? He says, Harvey, I'll tell you how I am. Listen to this. I never heard this from anybody before or since. He said, Harvey, I'm sitting here in this nice new chair, and I'm doing my best to please the Lord, and he's gone out of his way to please me. Isn't that something? I'm doing my best to please the Lord, and he's gone out of his way to please me. The day man landed on the moon, his son had brought a television up and put it into the blacksmith's shop. It was black and white in those days, to watch men landing on the moon, and I just happened to be there. And I went into the shop to say hello to Hugh just as they were arriving on the moon, you see. And it was a very strong Ulster Scotsman, if you understand me, the brogue or the language, you see. And whenever we stood back and watched all this happening, in amazement, actually, that man had reached another planet, you see, and that was a great feat, whether we like it or not. If I had been steering that thing to the moon, goodness knows where you'd have ended up, you know, but it was a feat, there's no doubt. And whenever I was watching this and looking at it, and it was all over, program finished, I said, well, Hugh, what do you think of that? They looked at me in his Ulster Scots tongue, and he said, weel? He said, if the day as much get up there as they've done here, he said, they would just be as well at him. Can you understand that? If they've done as they do as much good up there as they've done down here, you would just be as well at home. I was mesmerized recently watching a natural nature program on TV. I love to see those things. And they were showing us little birds actually coming out of chicken eggs. And I'm thinking to myself, what a wonderful world we live in. And all those things happening. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I was looking at daffodils coming up. How does a daffodil bulb know what time of the year to come out? Huh? You ever think about that? How does it know? And I noticed swallows, you know, and they fly for I do not know how far to come back, and they come back to the very same nest. You see, I could hardly find my way home if somebody didn't show me. You know, they have some kind of an indwelt radar or something. It's amazing, you know, but only man is vile. I don't think the animal world has done much to wreck the world, but man has. Man has. Many times I wonder what the world looked like before man got his hands on it. Many times I wonder about that. But still, some more things I want to say, and time is racing on. This is going to be a little unusual this morning, but it's what struck me from the meeting today, and I hope it's of value to you. Some spend time like they would spend money. Some carefully and some carelessly. Now, you know, there's a fact in that. There's some people, and they always have money in their pockets. There's other ones that never have 2D. The reason being, they spend it carelessly. Now, you can do that, you see, with money, but you've got to be careful. You see, you know that as well as I do. But what are we doing with our time? Are we redeeming the time because the days are evil, buying up every opportunity to serve the Lord? We don't want to be caught up and caught on when the Savior comes again. We want to be ready to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I was thinking about that the other day. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, and for faithful, robust, going forward, strong, outgoing Christian servers, we can enter into the joy of the Lord out there in eternity. I used to tell the folks in the church I was responsible for that my ambition would be to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't see anything wrong with that. But I also made it plain that my ambition was that they would hear it too. I would love every believer to hear that. And there's no reason why we shouldn't. Friends, don't waste time. Spend it wisely. One final thing. Some take time by the hand, seizing every opportunity coming to serve the Lord. You know, I say this regretfully today, that I gave up visiting the homes of Christians on a Sunday afternoon years ago. I used to love to do that, but I stopped doing it. And I'll tell you why. In the majority of cases, they were either watching the afternoon film on the television or they were in bed. Some one of the two. Could that be called redeeming the time? Because the days are evil? Could it? I don't think so. I don't think so. My friends, time is short and time is valuable. I had a lot of other things I want to say about this, but time doesn't allow me to do it. There's the time again, you see, running away on us this morning again. As I've said already, this is of a practical nature. Could I read those things out to you again? Some kill time until time kills them. Some waste time, heedless of how quickly the days are passing. Some pass time in trivial and in unprofitable pursuits. I didn't touch that one because I was running out of time, but it's a fact. You can waste a lot of time in things that are unprofitable and unbeneficial. Some spend time as they would money, some carefully, some carelessly. Some take time by the hand, seizing every opportunity coming their way to serve the Lord. I say what Mr. Pope said at the end of my remarks to you today. Please, time is passing, and you are passing out of time. Take care of the minutes, and the hours will take care of themselves. May the Lord bless you. Amen. You got a hymn, Brother David, or do you want me to? What about When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound?
Yes, why not?
Yeah. I was going to give it out anyway, but I'm doing it the nice way. We'll have 528. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. The morning breaks, eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. 528. We can never sit to sing this. Let's stand and praise the Lord together.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather up, for on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Father, it thrills our hearts today to be able to sing those words, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Thank thee for thy presence with us.